Your greatly beloved, the God himself, to come and search the earth for us.
Let's have a round of applause for the messenger of Allah.
Everywhere you hear him, listen to him. Everywhere you see him, look at him. Everywhere he advises you to go, go. Everywhere he advises you to stay from, stay from. So we are thankful to Allah for this great helper of mine, Minister Farrakhan. And I say continue to hear our Minister Farrakhan.
So those of you who thought you would come out here to see a weak, fragile, decrepit Farrakhan, I want you to look again. I'm here and I'm strong. And I will look down on all of my enemies, for he promised me that sit thou at my right hand while I make all your enemies your footstool.
Assalamu alaikum. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the Beneficent, the Merciful. We thank him for his many blessings and his many mercies. And the greatest of Allah's mercy is that he intervenes in the affairs of humanity in the form of his prophets, messengers, and apostles. We thank this one God for Musa and or Moses and the Torah. We thank this one God for Esau and or Jesus and the gospel. We thank this one God for Muhammad and the revelation of the Holy Quran. May Allah's peace and mercy be upon these worthy servants of his. However, if I lived to be 1,000, I could never thank Allah enough for his consistency, his constancy, and for doing us one better than he did for any other member of the human family. He did not send us a prophet, a messenger. He came himself in the form of a well-made man by the name of Master Fard Muhammad, God in person. We thank him for searching among us, finding one worthy among us in the first instance, in the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, his Christ. And we thank the two of them for not leaving us comfortless, but leaving with us their Messiah, our Jesus, in the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet all of you in our nation's greeting of peace, of assalamu alaikum, and welcome once again to another edition of my walk with Jesus as a Muslim. We have a very special guest in this particular person who is one of the members who is the second self of God, our sister, our friend, Sister D Nice. I know she says Denise, but you got the D, capital D, lowercase e, and then Nice. And there used to be a rapper out called D Nice Muhammad with us this evening. And I hope she's not offended by me taking light with her name. But she most certainly is polite, most certainly is nice, and she has a unique journey of how she came into the mindset of accepting this path and accepting this revelation from God to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. She's among the rare few who came into the nation and accepted this revelation by reading the Word of God in a center article presented by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Let's welcome my sister, who's a multiple entrepreneur, an aromatherapist, a wellness coach, just an all-around multi-purpose sister that can help you with anything if you just give her a chance to talk about it. She's done the research, she's done the work, she's walked the walk. I present to you none other than Sister Denise Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. Now you have those lyrics in my head. Yes, thank you, Brother Donald, for having me on your show. I'm so honored to be here.
Thank you for accepting.
Yes, sir.
For the listening audience that did not hear your life journey, could you just share with our listening audience your journey to accepting the leadership and the revelation of Allah to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is now taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? What brought you this way?
Yes, sir, I would be happy to. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Fard Muhammad, to whom all praise is due forever, and for him not leaving us alone and raising our living and exalted Christ, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and our Messiah, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I greet you once again in our greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. So my journey into the Nation of Islam, I grew up in the Baptist church. I was raised by my grandparents in Palacios, Texas. Grew up there, graduated, went off to college in Huntsville, Texas, graduated college. And then I got a job in Houston. So that's where I landed in Houston. And I was in a beauty salon, a brother that was actually in processing at the time. He was the salon owner, and he had Final Call newspapers in his shop. So I picked one up, you know, just casually. And immediately when I opened the paper, it opened up to the minister's article. And in that particular article was the lecture that he did in Atlanta. I believe it was in 94. And he spoke to women only. And I read that article, and I was immediately hooked on the words, like, who is this man? I want to know more. You know, where is this information coming from? And so, Mike, I took the paper, and the brother's name is Michael, who had the paper in his shop, and he was in processing at the time. And so I took the paper home with me. I ended up ordering the VHS tape at that time, back in 95. Ordered it, seemed like it was taking forever to get to me, but when it finally did, oh my goodness, I didn't know what I was in for, but I listened to that tape so many times over and over. It was like water to my soul. And at the end of it, I was like, whoever this man is, whatever he is, I want to be that. I want to be a Muslim. Man. And I listened to the tape, the lecture, so many times. I had a dream that the minister was speaking in my ear. Those words that was in the lecture, I heard his voice in my ear. And I asked Mike, I called him, I'm like, where is the mosque? I want to go to the mosque. I want to join. I already knew I wanted to join. And so we scheduled a date to go on that Sunday here in Houston, Texas, mosque number 45. And he ended up not being able to go. And I was like, okay, well, give me the address. I'm going myself. So I went listened to the lecture, and all praises due to Allah. I stood up, ready to join, accept my own, and be myself. And I'm still here. And that was in 95. And I got registered in 96, went to my first Savior's Day prior to, I wrote my letter, came back home from Savior's Day. I came back home, A. Muhammad. I never had an ex. That was the year the minister gave the Muhammad names. And then that following month, I found out my letter was accepted. So I came in, Denise Muhammad. Praises be to God.
Yes, ma'am. Well, sister, thank you so much for that. All of these stories, whether we believe it or not, are actually inspirational points, not only for ourselves that made us come in, but there are many millions of Black people that can identify immediately with your story. And when they hear our stories, there's no other presentation more powerful than when we give a testimony of how we came, or when we bear witness to our own journey in Islam. We cannot talk about what Islam has done for us, then we cannot talk about anything else with any kind of conviction.
Right.
So that's always the easiest presentation, because you're speaking from your own experience and soul. So thank you for that.
You're now, welcome.
In terms of your background, in terms of your work experience, life experience that led you to this multi entrepreneurial platform of experience and the helping of others, how did you come into this business-minded individual? How many people have you helped? Do you have a brick and mortar spot, or do you do everything virtual, or a combination of both? How did, what did Allah lead you in your journey to become this multi-entrepreneur, wellness coach, aromatherapist? What are your experiences that led you to this multifaceted abilities that you have?
Yes, sir. Even before coming into the nation, I always knew I wanted my own business. It was just, seemed like it was in me. And I remember growing up, my grandmother, she, even though she worked a job for 30 some odd years until she eventually retired, she was also an insurance. She worked in insurance. And I had an aunts that were insurance ladies. You know, they did life insurance. So yes, I think it's just in me to want it, you know, to be a business minded person, an entrepreneur. My mother is also an entrepreneur. She has worked on her job for many, many years, but she still does her, she sells jewelry. So I think it's just in me, brother. And yes, so coming into the Nation of Islam, and, you know, we're taught to do for self, that was just really right up my alley, so to speak.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Sure. So, I got introduced into what led me down the path of aromatherapy. I was in a multi-level marketing business dealing with holistic bath and body products, natural bath and body products, with the sister Sharifa Muhammad. She introduced me. She's the wife of Brother Qiyam Muhammad, over the Twitter army. And she introduced me to that business. And then from there, it kind of just grew. I was introduced into essential oils. I had never used an essential oil before. Yes, I didn't even really know what an essential oil was. And Sister Tamora Muhammad introduced me to that. And before she you know, contacted me several times, and I'm like, well, let me just try this, you know, for myself to see if it really does what it says it's supposed to do.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I became my own first client before I took it as a business.
Yes, ma'am.
And when I used it for myself and my children, my daughter, my youngest daughter, Layla, she would have breathing issues. And I noticed when I started using the essential oils, diffusing them, her breathing problems started to get better. So I was like, ooh, I'm on to something.
Praises due to Allah. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. And it goes hand in hand with how to eat to live, you know. And so I use the essential oils, aromatherapy with myself first. And then I took it on as a business. And I was really, I did a lot of research on my own, self-study, before I actually got certified. And a brother, Brother Sean Ali, who's he's the Supreme Health and Wellness, that's his business. He told me about a school that I can enroll in to study aromatherapy and get certified to know how it actually interacts with the body. It helps the mind, body, and spirit all at once. And so
yes,
I enrolled in that course of study for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, got my certification in actually on the messenger's birthday, October 7th, 2019. I'll never forget that date because it's the messenger's birthday.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
So that's how I was introduced into aromatherapy. Yes, sir. And I've helped, oh, I don't, countless of believers. One Savior's Day, I think it was 2020, a sister came up to me and she was just so excited. She recognized me from, you know, Facebook. I would go live every day when I first started into it. I would go live with the essential oil of the day, breaking down how it, you know, helps you with this,
right,
that, and the other. Yes, sir. And she was like, Sister Denise, I didn't even know about essential oils until I started listening to you and how it helped her and her husband. And it's just those stories like that really inspired me to continue to share, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
What I,
all praises what due to Allah. Praises due
yes,
to Allah.
Sir.
Brother Stephen, are there any questions on the chat? If not, bring them forward if they are. If not, do you have any questions for our sister?
We are, for those, let me first start off by saying in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, all praise is due to Allah. Assalamu alaikum to our guests and to those who are watching. If you would like to ask a question, you can write it in the chat or you can come on live. We put the link in the chat. The question that I have, because I also have that entrepreneurial spirit, and we are discussing being persistent and
yes,
consistent.
Right.
In your entrepreneurial endeavors, what are some of the things that people should understand when going on this path to entrepreneurship?
Definitely persistence and consistency is key. And I want to share the definition because I was thinking about this topic before coming on. And the definition of persistence, continuing firmly in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. That's persistent.
Okay.
And consistent is acting or done in the same way over time.
Right. So there
especially,
is definitely, oh, go ahead.
Yes, especially so as to be fair or accurate. Unchanging in nature, standard or effect over time.
Right, right. So there's definitely that, obstacles. Now, for yourself, right, you know, what are some of the obstacles that you've had to face and to overcome? I guess if you could start first, I guess, with those internal obstacles.
Yes, that's the first thing that came to my mind. My own, you know, getting my foot out of my own way. Like, you know, as entrepreneurs, we have to talk. We have to reach out to people. Naturally, I'm a quiet person. I'm not, you know, I'm an introvert. And so getting, you know, picking up the phone can be like a 100-pound gorilla or something, you know, it's just, you know, picking up the phone, getting out of my own way. And I still deal with that, you know, that hesitancy. But as they say, closed mouths don't get fed. So, you know, we have to, and I have to push myself. Getting over procrastination, that is one of my vices, is procrastination. Right. And getting past that. And it's all about, you know, mindset. Mm-hmm. And when I think of being persistent in spite of difficulty and or opposition, I immediately think of the minister.
Right.
You know.
Oh, absolutely.
Being persistent, even though, you know, standing on truth, even though there's difficulty or opposition, the same way, you know, because he says business is warfare. So mm-hmm. we have to continue to reach out, do what we, you know, build our business, you know, every single day, have a schedule, mm-hmm. things like that, having a morning routine, having a schedule, especially working from home, because Brother Donnell asked if I had a brick and mortar. I don't have that yet. So I mainly do things virtually working from home, which is good for me at this time.
Right.
For what I do.
Like you say, there's that obstacle there, because you have to have that self-discipline to be yes. able to, you know, wake up on time, you know, because you can't be an entrepreneur and, you know, really wake up at 12 o'clock and get your day going. You really have exactly. to wake up before everybody starts moving, just so you can get yourself organized.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And I heard Brother Nouri say in one of his lectures, persistence gets you started and consistency keeps you going. You know, right. So you have excellent. To get up and do those things that need to be done, have that schedule. Because I find if I don't have a schedule, it's like analysis paralysis. I'm saying, okay, I need to do this. I need to do that.
Yes, ma'am. Right. You're correct. Yes. You are correct. Yes, sir. Check this out, though. This is a age-old saying that was presented to all of us who were professional salespeople. It goes right along with your two principles of persistency and consistency. And here's how the saying goes. Talent alone will not get you to where you're going or to your goals. Nothing right. is more common than unsuccessful men and women with talent. Genius will not alone by itself, because there are many extremely intelligent people, but genius alone will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb.
Wow.
Education alone will not, because the world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent.
Wow.
And that's what they say of God. He is the omnipresent. He is omnipotent.
Yes.
So persistence and consistency alone or omnipotent.
Yes. Wow. And what comes to mind on that is like water dripping on a stone.
That's right. How do you live? That's right.
Yes, it keeps dripping. It keeps dripping. It's going to wear it out. So you have to, and that's the same thing with persistency. You know, we have to keep it going.
So tell us, keep it going. Where, you know, faith and belief, what does that play in entrepreneurship?
Oh, it's everything. Faith, we have to have faith, you know. What was the other word you used?
Belief.
Belief. Mm-hmm. Yes. And belief in ourselves that we can do it.
Right.
You know, as long as we're in accord with the will of Allah, we're going to be successful.
That is correct. That is correct.
Going in accord with the will of Allah, we have our success is inevitable. So yes, definitely faith is the substance of things unseen.
And so, since we're talking about entrepreneurship, and you know, you talked about your experience coming in, I remember coming in one of the first lectures. I mean, of course, like you, there were so many. Once you start hearing one, you were just hungry for more and more and more. Right. But one of the things that I heard the minister talk about was he talked about how some of us take the short path, right? We'll steal something, and he's saying that that is short circuiting the power that God put in us, you know. Mm-hmm. So can you I guess talk a little bit about that, you know, that path that we should be on, because some of us may see, you know, the glass half empty. We may not see the door to our getting out of a situation. What would you say to individuals like that, that have that type of mindset?
That see the glass half empty. Yeah, it's our perception is our reality.
That's right.
So we have to, you know, adjust our thinking. Everything starts in the mind. Whatever is going on in our lives, it's a cause and an effect.
Yes,
so looking at your goal and what you want to accomplish, then those negative thoughts have to be, we have to eliminate those, you know, and it's hard because I go through it myself. It's like getting out of our own way and thinking positive and, you know, writing your goals down. It's a verse in the Bible that says, write the vision and make it plain.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's what we have to do. Write it out, get those thoughts from up here out of our head and put them on paper, and then have a plan of action to execute.
Yes, ma'am. And yes, Brother Stu, Minister, what would you add to that? Sir, I would love to hear what you would have to say.
Sure, sure. Before I add to the beauty of what my sister just shared, Brother Stephen, you kicked off another thought as you talked about people stealing ideas or whatever. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with me that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him that whenever you steal, you cut off the creative process of how that other person got what you just stole. You cut off that path of thought, because thoughts are things, and two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time. So if you're trying to steal somebody else's things or somebody else's ideas, then you no longer have a path with Allah to find out what's in you that will help you to get the same things that they have. So the only other thing I would add to that, Brother Stephen, is that, as my sister said, we, number one, have to have faith. And before we can get to faith, we start off with belief in something. And as she read that article in the final call, she had no idea of what the revelation of Allah to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would bring. She had a partial piece of that revelation in what Minister Farrakhan printed in that article, but because she believed it struck an accord with her nature, she believed in it. And she wanted to pursue further to find out. And once she pursued it further, then faith began to enter into her heart.
Right.
And then she started discovering the evidence that faith produces, because it's defined as faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And the more she studied and read and listened, she got more evidence. She got more substance from that. And it began to put faith in her heart. And then ultimately, as she begins to prove things and manifest things, then it becomes knowledge in fact.
Beautiful.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful.
So that, you know, that right there is, you know, powerful, because one of the things, like you're saying, is, you know, the belief in ourselves, as you were saying, sister, you know, the belief in ourselves, because I remember someone told me that the minister said that, you know, this is our time, and that, you know, whatever we are doing in accord with the will of Allah, we can't be unsuccessful.
Yes, sir. We will be successful. That's right.
Right.
And this is the time for us to begin to do for ourselves, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you know, it's past the point of hurry, you know, because the plantation doors will be closed, because they are already closed, you know. Right. So it's definitely time for us to do something for ourselves. Sure. When I wanted to ask you, I guess, about the negative forces that are around us. Sometimes we all even have, you know, family members who come with a negative thought. What are some of the things that help you to overcome those type of negative forces?
Beautiful question. Beautiful question.
Yes. Those negative forces, oh my goodness. Man. What helps me is just like turning on something positive, the minister, beautiful, you know, listening to that, affirmations, prayer definitely helps mitigate those negative forces, you know, and some of them come from within ourselves. Can I really do this? Or you're helping so many people, but then you got situations going on in your own life. It's like, man, you know, and it kind of makes you feel like, what am I doing this for sometimes?
Right.
You know, so definitely prayer, reading, mindset is everything. I'm always, you know, studying, reading, listening to, you know, like Brother Ben or people that teach mindset, to keep my mind where it needs to be. So that has been
sister,
very,
let me share
very
this with you. Thank you from what you just said and what brother and the question that Brother Stephen asked. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did a lecture in a church, and as he often says to us, he don't need notes. He simply listened from the beginning. And the choir in this particular church sang a song that was entitled, "What Was It Like When I First Believed?" So when the minister mounted the rostrum, that was the subject that he took up for the rest of that time, for about 2 hours. And not only did he ask the question of them, what was it like when they first believed? He said also that was for us. What were we like when we first came into the nation?
Right.
And then you begin to see maybe a year later or this time later or many years later, that same spirit than zeal that you had. Maybe somebody in your family, maybe somebody in the mosque, might have been a minister, a captain, a secretary, or a fellow believer. But then the lesson comes up, have not you heard that your word shall be bond regardless to whom or what? The whom might be a person. The what might be a circumstance that kills your spirit. Mm. So what I came up under was this. Why did I come to this? This is the reoccurring question that will help all of us get up out of whatever comes up in our mind in terms of challenges. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? And that is this. I came to the nation because I heard the word of one of Minister Farrakhan's representative in my young teenage life. And I came into the mosque and ran into many obstacles on my first day.
Right.
But what made me stay in spite of the negative activity that was going on in the mosque at that time was this simple question that I ask myself every time I run into a problem with depression or discouragement, and that is, why did I come this way? I came because, number one, I'm from a Baptist Christian background. I love the word, and I found that word properly interpreted by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I came because I love the word. I love him. I love the God. I love the truth. I love black people. So every time I'm feeling down, I go back to that question. Why did I accept this?
Right.
Right.
If I answer it for the same reasons that I've answered it in the beginning, I am immediately revived and refreshed.
Mm. Right.
Yes,
so
sir.
Even when I resign every month, I ask myself that question, why did you come this way? And if the minister is still standing, how dare you even think about quitting? And as he said to me one day, Brother Donnell, if you quit this, where are you going to go? Where are you going?
Right.
What else is there?
Right.
Am I going to go back to the devil and say, can I get a job with you, sir? Well, what is your background, Donnell? Well, I've been preaching your demise and for the devil for 50 years. Are you going to still hire me, sir? Come on.
Right.
Yes.
The bridge is burned. We have no other path but Islam. That's it.
Right. We want to burn. We want to burn that bridge. We want to make sure that we can never go back.
Make sure we go back. Can never go back.
That's right.
Right.
So, sister, you know, is that something that you yourself, you know, say to yourself when, you know, you get up and you say, oh, do you say to yourself, you know, this is why I started this. This is why, you know, I want to continue on this path.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a saying in the network marketing world, if your why don't make you cry, you won't stay.
That is heavy.
And when I think of, you know, my children and my why is wanting to, you know, leave a legacy for them, for future generations, because it's true. In the Bible, in scripture, it's like if you basically live in vain if you don't leave anything for the future generations. And I don't want to be one of those that lived in vain.
Mm. Yes, ma'am.
You know,
you know, Brother Stoop Minister, if I can, you know, sister had said something, can you touch a little bit on, you know, prayer and how important that is for us to be able to stay focused and on the right path?
Thank you, Brother Stephen. Excellent question. We are taught that prayer is really, in a sense, even though we know belief in Allah is the first thing, but in terms of importance, believing that is important, but even more important for our actual consistency in life, persistency in life, prayer is what keeps us consistent. So if I get up every morning for Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and the Prophet said it like this, what man having a pool outside of his home, bathing in it five times a day, would walk away unclean? How can you sincerely focus on Allah and think about the preparation that we go through even before we start the prayer? Think about that repetition.
Yes, sir.
That begins to establish in us mentally and spiritually a habit. And that's the key to anything. Habits are what create consistency. Habits, we are all slaves to habits. And the only way to replace a bad habit is to produce a new habit or a positive habit. So study guide number 13, The Price of Redemption, talks about the fasting, talks about the prayer, because the purpose of it, if we do something for 21 and some scholars say 30 days, it becomes a habit. So the more we pray and stay in tune with Allah, those words become real. Those words become flesh, because in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word became flesh. So the more we pray these words that are actually scientifically designed in the prayer, they become manifest in us, and then we become more and more like the prayer and take on the mind of the God that we are praying to.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Powerful.
Now, sister, I wanted to ask you, because we're both in the classroom, Brother Ben X. And one of the things that he talks about is that a lot of us, we have these great ideas, and we, and some of us have even concretized those ideas. But one of the things that he talks about is execution. Can you talk about execution?
Yes. Without that, what we want can't, what's in our mind to do will not come to fruition. So execution is key. You know, it's, we can read all of this and listen to lectures and do all of that, but if we're not putting it into practice in our own lives, you know, be that clean glass. So same with business, you know, we have to, as I was saying earlier, write it down, make it plain, and then execute. It's about taking massive action, you know, and that's something, you know, even with myself, as I'm learning to do, you know, do more, take that action, stop putting things off. Oh, I'll do this tomorrow. I'll do it later, and later never gets here, you know? So yes, action, execution is definitely key.
Yeah, ma'am. Right. Thank you. Excellently put.
And so, you know, I was, as I was studying up on this interview, one of the things too is that word patience. Patience. Bruh, patience is one of those things that can trip us up as well, because we may be on that process, and then because of our impatience or the lack of seeing results, we abandon the process.
Yes, sir.
When if we would have moved forward, we were right there. And we you know, I see that, and sometimes you see those cartoons, right? Or those drawings, and a person is, you know, they're chiseling away in a mine and they give up, and you see that little thin sliver where they would have just hammered one more time, they would have been.
Yes.
Can you talk about patience? And then, Brother Student Minister, can you also say a little bit about the importance of patience?
Yes, sir, I most certainly will. Go ahead, my sister.
Yes, patience. That's, you know, that's something that we really, Allah has, we have to pray for patience. We really have to pray for patience because we are automatically created impatient. So that is something that we have to pray for and, you know, keep asking Allah to bless us with patience. And it's, you have to be patient. We have to be patient. It's something that we have to learn to do, you know, patience, first of all, with ourselves, you know, because nothing is an overnight fix. We're so used to instant gratification in everything, you know, fast food, social media, everybody's so impatient. If you don't say what you need to say in 3 seconds, oh, I'm gonna scroll on past that video.
Right.
You know, so that is something that with myself, I'm learning, you know, to just have more patience.
Yes,
with
ma'am.
Myself and others.
That's correct. Brother Stephen, I think you really kicked it off with the point. You mentioned the word process a few times, and my sister did too. The Quran says of us, man is like something to the effect of ever impatient. Mm-hmm. Patience is a virtue. It's something that we were born, or man was created impatient, and but yet God requires of us patience. And when we're not patient, then we become frustrated. We act out of sync. And here's some of the examples we are given. If we did not know, Sister Denise and Brother Stephen, that it took a baby 9 months to get here, then most of us would be looking for our child the next day. But because we know it takes a baby 9 months to arrive, we continue our life until that time comes to fruition. Here we are in the backyard. We planted some tomato seeds and some bell peppers. But every day we dig the seeds up, hold it in our hand and say, I wonder why my tomatoes are not here. I wonder why my bell peppers have not arrived. If we keep digging it up every day, they will never arrive. So we have to leave them in the ground and allow the process of rain and sunshine and earth to begin the process of that growth. So if we are not patient with ourselves, patient with our goals, we will never achieve them. And Brother Stephen, you mentioned again, process is the most important thing that many of our people have been made ignorant of. And as my sister said earlier, we come across something, if it looks like it's too long, if it ain't the 3 words or less, oh, I ain't got time for that. It ain't got pictures, I don't want to read it. So if you want to hide anything from a Negro, put it in the book. We don't read a whole bunch of words. We want to see pictures and sports. So the bottom line is, we have to begin getting more and more understanding of process, because a process is attached to everything that's worth anything. There is a process to get it. And if you don't understand that timetable, then you will never get it.
That's good. Because I think, you know, one of the things that we're looking at in this society is that the society that we're living in has been programmed or conditioned to be even more impatient than the past. You know, we used to be able to, like you were saying, sister, you know, when you used to watch a video, you know, they'd be maybe 30 minutes. Now they cut down to 5 minutes. Now they got 1 minute, they got shorts, you know?
Right.
People are so impatient. And really, you know, when you look at YouTube, there's no reason to even go to a university, because you got everything on YouTube University. But because of impatience, you know, people are, you know, they're not even patient enough to learn certain skills that people are giving away freely.
Exactly.
Sister, you know, and I read this article by our brother who was a beautiful janaza student or minister, Jibril. And, you know, he wrote a number of powerful articles. One of the article, the title of the article was Perfection Comes Through What We Suffer, you know.
Beautiful.
Perfection comes through what we suffer. And we've heard that saying that, you know, that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? But there's another suffering is that this doesn't kill you hurts like H-E-double-L. As we're going through this entrepreneurship, there is a lot of, you know, stress and anxiety, you know, because of, you know, having to, you know, handle business and pay bills and, you know, things like that.
Right.
So how do you keep your mind focused? And then, of course, I'll ask you, Brother Stu Minister, too, because you have your business as well.
Yes, sir.
Yes, when it comes to focus, it's like setting up a block of time. Like, say, if I want to work on my credit business for 2 hours, set that block of time up and cut out all distractions. Turn off the notifications and, you know, the phone if you have to, then focus on that particular task. You know, and that isn't always easy for me either, but that's what helps me to focus is when I put up a block of time. If I want to put up a block of time to read or study the teachings, that's what I, you know, do. For this hour, I'm going to be reading.
Yes,
ma'am.
You know, and another thing that helps with focus as well is aromatherapy. Certain essential oils can help you focus. Put a diffuser on, block out that time. I'm working on my business for an hour. Put that diffuser on with some peppermint or rosemary, block out that time. And that helps to focus as well.
All praise is due to Allah.
And that, yes. And you know, really, you know, that's something that's probably underestimated. You know, and when you talk about focus, and that is I'm talking now, I guess, about environment, you know, that will allow you to focus.
That's right. That is correct. That is correct.
Yeah. And then you have to be intentional about it and say, this is what I'm doing. This is what I want to do, and set that intention and do it.
That's an excellent word, sister. Intentionality. Yeah. That's you got to have intent. But like all of you have already said, in a business, we've been doing this rental car business, Avis, budget, and also trucks. We're going into working on our 18th year now. And the thing that keeps you focused, Brother Stephen, as you so, and the sister so beautifully put it, is that you got to ask the question again. Why am I doing this? Well, the number one reason why we're doing it is because the Arama said what? Do something for yourself, number one. Number two is so that you can be in a financial position, no matter how talented and gifted we are, and no matter how much the Nation of Islam needs our talent, needs our resources, and needs our presence of time.
Yes.
Even as equally important, or in some instances even more important, is charity. Well, how can I get money? Money is not the root of all evil. Money is, in fact, almost more important than oxygen. Not quite, but it's right up there in second place.
Right.
Because in this world, if you ain't got no money, capitalism. You can't help minister because you can't even help yourself.
Right.
Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told me it is very hard, if not impossible, to think creatively, to move forward if you're always fighting just to maintain your basic necessities. If I'm always thinking about my children are hungry, I don't have any groceries in the house, I got to get some money to get that. Oh, the rent, I'm already 2 months behind on my rent. Oh my God, my car note's backed up. Oh my God, I ain't got enough gas in my car. If that's all you think about every day, then you cannot help the nation. You can't even help yourself.
Right.
Right.
So the other thing for going into business is so that it frees up a cash flow. Even if you don't have the profit, the beautiful thing about business is that if you get cash coming in every day, you can actually use that cash flow and replace it as money comes in every day. But if you're not independent, you cannot do that with a job with the right man.
Right.
Exactly.
That's true.
That's true. Motivation right there. I can help my nation. I can help myself. Mm. I can help believers who are financially strapped or hurting. Mm. I can help some of my own family members because I got cash coming in.
Right. So true. Yes,
so true.
And there's nothing more motivational, even if I get tired of some other things, when you look at the money, I'm like, whoa, all worth it.
That's so true. That's a good motivator right there.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask you, Sister Renee, how important is it to have a supportive environment? You know what I mean? Have, you know, they say there's a saying that water seeks its own level. And so we're trying to, you know, come up to a certain level, but how important is it to have that supportive environment?
Oh, it's very, very important to have that support and people that you can talk to that'll inspire you and you can mastermind with, and they can, you know, you tell your idea to them and they can add something to it, or you can add to them. So the having that circle of support is critical, especially as an entrepreneur and being starting off as a solo entrepreneur. You definitely need support because you got to wear so many hats. You're right. The marketer, you're the accountant, you know, you got to go and get prospects. And so you're doing everything. So definitely having that support and someone to bounce your ideas off of, and that can help you and inspire you, is crucial.
Praise be to Allah. That's correct.
Brother Student Minister, this is that same question, but it's, this is a question that is really for that new believer, if you will.
Sure.
You know, how important is it, you know, because, you know, the mosque is that environment that we can get nourishment. Can you talk about, you know, the importance of staying in that circle?
Yes, sir. There are some of us that feel when we seem like our problems are overwhelming us. I've had countless believers over the years, the past 50 years or so, that would say to themselves, you know, brother minister, I'm gonna have to take some leave because I gotta work out some problems myself. Mm. And one of the expressions of the minister, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is this: if I could have worked out my problems by myself, then there would have not been a need for God to come in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. There would have never been a need to set up a structure called mosque, called temple, which is really like an incubator for a premature birth of a child that is not developed, where we were underdeveloped, we were devalued or decomposed in this society by Satan. So we need all of the supportive divine revelation that the mosque represents, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. So you never want to extract yourself from that environment simply because you have problems. But then those of us in leadership have to make absolutely sure there are no spirit killers,
right?
Baby killers, nor should we ever be guilty of lording ourselves over believers. The only difference between me and Sister Denise, the only difference between me and Brother Stephen and any other rank and file believer is that I just happen to have more responsibility. It's just like the analogy of a married man who used to hang out with his friends, a married woman who used to hang out with her friends. I cannot no longer do the same thing I did when I was single, because now I'm striving to become one with another human being. I have more responsibilities now. I got more children than you have. You're single. I have a house note now, so I cannot do the same thing. So as the minister of the mosque, the captain of the, I only have more responsibilities. I'm not better than you. And I have to accept the mindset of Jesus said it like this: let the greatest among you, or the best among you, or those among you be your ministers or your servants. All of us jump on the minister part because I want somebody to carry my briefcase,
right?
Or knock people down because Donnell Muhammad just walked through the door. But none of us want to grab that part of the expression that says, let the greatest among you be your servants. And what the people are crying for today is servant leadership, not right. some big-headed Negro, excuse me, not Negro, Negro. So I can never approach you like I'm better than you, because I'm not.
Right.
In many ways, you're better than me in terms of the gifts and talents that Allah has given you, and also your character. So I must always approach you like I'm looking at God, because that's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said you were.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah, thank you. Well, we're at the bottom of the hour. And it went quick, you know.
Yes, it did.
And I mean, thank you so much for coming on and having, you know, this conversation, you know, with us on being persistent, being consistent, being, you know, resolute, executing, you know, all of these things that we need to really be focused on so that we can be successful. As we begin to close out, if you can give us, and we'll start with you, student minister, and give our sister the closing remarks. If you can give us some keys to success, and if you could talk maybe a little bit on, sometimes we hit setbacks or, you know, some failures, and overcoming that.
Sure. Some keys to success. Number one, maintaining the five pillars and or principles of Islam. Any structure that is worth its weight. Take, for example, the Twin Towers. They were not brought down by 747 jet planes. They were brought down by the pillars of the support, and that's why they fell like a designed demolition explosion.
Right.
So once we were given the five pillars of Islam, so when we stop believing and relying on Allah as taught to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who is Master Fard Muhammad, then you've already removed one of the most critical pillars to the structure of your mind and your soul. So I don't care what goal you're trying to go after. If you don't have that number one pillar, You are already getting ready to fall down. And remember, David was successful not because he executed all of the pillars, but his belief in Allah was what struck Goliath in the head and brought Goliath down. The second thing is, if you stop communicating with Allah on a regular basis, then where are you going to get your strength? Because the Quran says that Allah would not even care for us were it not for our prayers. And then the scripture goes on to say in the Bible, wherever a man's heart is, there will his treasure be also, or the reverse, wherever his treasure is, there where his heart will be also. So if we're not charitable, if we're stingy and niggardly, and then, of course, fasting. Fasting is the actual pillar that produces discipline. If a man can deny himself water, which you need, food, which you need, then how much easier is it for me to put down a cigarette, put down habitual binge watching of stupid programs on TV or TikToking on social media that I don't actually need? And then, of course, the Hajj, which is the real Hajj of jihad, which is the war of fighting with self to kill the Satan within to make that union with Allah God. As long as I maintain all of the five pillars and don't neglect any of them, because as you knock down pillars of support to a structure, and the structure of the human mind, especially for the believers, are those five pillars of belief.
Man, that's the key. Sister Denise, why did I put you in this spot?
Say that that is not fair to come on that. I have, oh my goodness, that was it. Like that, I say ditto everything he said. But one thing I do want to, something the minister said today at the janazah, and that brings up to mind success. He says, whatever talent I have, I used for the resurrection of our people.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And the minister is the picture of success. He's our example. He said, study him.
Right. That's right. That's right.
For sure.
Yes, sir. So
excellent.
That's right there. That might have topped it right there.
Over everything else we said. That's the one that you ain't got nothing to say up and behind us.
That's right there. That was it right there. That's in real time.
He just said that.
Beautiful. Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah.
Before we close out, we definitely, even though we have your LinkedIn, please tell those who are watching or listening, because we'll put this also in a podcast, how they can contact you, how they can support you. If you have a Cash App that you would like to, you know, let the people know about, you know, go right ahead.
And how, and also how they can get in contact with you for your D Nice album.
Just call me D Nice.
Right.
Right. Yes. You can reach out to me if you need help in regards to aromatherapy or credit. You can text 713-482-1624. That's 713-482-1624. I'm also on Facebook, Denise Renee Muhammad, and also on Instagram, Denise Renee Muhammad. Thank you.
All right. Yes.
Thank you. Thank
and
you.
Through that LinkedIn, is that where they can get that information as well?
Yes, on my LinkedIn, it has everything that I offer. I also have books, self-published books on there that are available on Amazon. So all of those links are on my LinkedIn site.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for having me. This was fun.
Thank you for accepting.
Yes. And please come back, you know, and visit us here in the near future.
Yes, there sir. I'll be happy to.
Yeah.
All right. Assalamu
alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
All right, student. All right. We, a powerful, beautiful program with our sister.
My God. A lot of juice, a lot of energy.
Yes.
Thank you for making the invitation.
Absolutely. And she mentioned Sister Tamora, which we'll have her on next week. So that was really timely, you know, that she mentioned her. And so we look forward to that as well.
What does Tamora do?
She aromatherapy, essential oils, a lot of health related issues as well.
Sure.
Also, when it comes down to modesty, our sister talks a lot about modesty as well, which, is definitely something we could talk on, next week
sure,
as well.
Sure.
Right.
I got a list of names that was sent to me from Chicago by Brother Rodney and Brother Marcel, Brother Minister, formerly Brother Carlos, now Imam Salam. He said he was willing to come on as soon as we call him. Brother, I'll send you these numbers as well.
Yes, sir.
Just let them know that you work with me. You're the program director, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So I'll send you every single name along with a sister too that says her name is, I think, something Farrakhan. Let me bring it up here. Hold on.
Okay.
Something Farrakhan. I think she's either granddaughter or something like that.
Yes, sir.
Let me see here, Brother Rodney.
While you're looking that up, I'll just let the people know that, you know, tune in, you know, every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's an interactive program. So I think what happened with this program is I might have put the wrong time down, but we still did get some interaction and we had a very good conversation. But tune in every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is an interactive program, whether you're Muslim, Christian, Jewish, or Hebrew, whatever. You know, you can ask questions, be a part of the program, be a part of the conversation. And with that, if you want, we'll just go ahead and close on out.
Yes, sir. Then I'll send you these names and numbers, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Wa
alaikum salam. And so I want to just thank everyone for watching the program. Always, we're asking you to support, you know, and number one is to like the program, subscribe to our channel, follow us on our different social media platforms. You can just type in Know for Life, KNOW, the number 4, LIFE, and you can follow us throughout the social media stratosphere, if you will. And with that, may God continue to bless you and your family with the light of truth and understanding. Assalamu alaikum. Close out with this here. Mm-hmm.